Recording in progress.
Special.
Let's call the regular meeting of the PMBC to order. It's March 7th and right about 7 p.m. All members are accounted for with Hutch on the screen and Craig Robin and Dave Madigan are not available tonight. Is it Robbins or Robin?
Robbins.
With an S.
With an S, yeah.
Otherwise, building committee is here. And public participation, anybody on the screen for public?
No.
Nope.
And we'll go to the Feb 7 minutes of the last regular meeting. Does anybody have a chance to look? Any comments? Karen, what do you have?
Quite a few.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my, I know, it's rare for me to have quite a few. Second page, under new Collinsville Board of Select Approval, the first paragraph, it states that the project was brought forth and received a positive response, and I want to delete Mr. Skinner asked and replace it with. And so it received a positive response with Millennium Builders being awarded the project through the Easy IQ system, C system. Does that make sense?
Right.
Okay.
So you're taking out Mr. Skinner asked.
Ask that, yeah. The next paragraph, the deferrals are FF&E generator and demolition. Funding can come from other sources that will be pursued. And I would like to delete the rest of it. Because I don't think we really need to know specifics on grants and dollar amounts unless you need that it's necessary. But that's usually through the Board of Selectmen.
It's up to you guys.
The ARPA, from the ARPA funds down?
Correct. Unless you guys want to keep them. I thought that, you know, it was so, well, we could go here and then we can go here, unless they're specific.
The only thing you might want to say is a grant or grants would be applied for to potentially fund these items.
That works for me. Absolutely. Yes. That was your notes?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I took out the rest of it.
You took out the rest too. Okay. Then it says, Mr. Skinner made a motion. I'd like to delete that whole thing. Mr. Skinner. And on the online minutes, it's Mr. Reynolds made that motion.
Well, I wasn't sure if that was to Board of Selectmen or to the PMBC, so.
Correct. So that's why I
adjusted. But it's redundant, too. I mean, it
doesn't need to be in there.
This board didn't take any action in that regard, so strike that paragraph.
Okay. The last paragraph on that page where it says Horizontal Metal Sheet Siding, I would like to delete that whole section which deals with the siding and have the paragraph start with planning and zoning requirements. Or make that a separate paragraph.
Oh, so you mean like the first couple of sections?
Yeah, that's dealing with the siding, the metal siding. It is two different subjects, so it's either remove the whole thing or make a second paragraph. Another paragraph. I'm not quite sure, Chris.
Well, we did talk about changing the siding.
Right, but is that, well, I mean, like I said, if we want to keep it, then it's a separate paragraph.
Make a separate paragraph.
Okay.
And while we're on that paragraph, can I?
Go ahead. I don't know.
Change the horizontal metal siding as proposed for the administrative area.
Oh, good idea.
Proposed.
Yep. Anything else on that paragraph?
I took out Falls Little Fire Station, but the one I was given as an example, and I put a period there.
Okay. It looks very good. It's removed. Okay.
Yeah. It's
okay. The next page, I was dealing with the third paragraph. Several Petroselli was able to reduce the numbers.
Yeah.
My question was of what, and I'm believing that the heaters in the apparatus bay. I'm not sure what it is.
I questioned that too.
So I'm not quite sure what that is. I thought it was the heat.
It was fixtures in more than one place, and I don't remember the specifics.
I don't either. So like I said, I was like of what.
Does anybody remember that?
Where's that in the minutes?
Okay, it's on the third page of the minutes. It's the paragraph, third full paragraph, starting with Silver Petroselli.
Yep. That's when they were doing the occupancy requirements.
Yep.
And they said that because of occupancy changes.
Oh, fixtures in the bathroom?
Yeah, they might be able to change fixtures in the bathroom.
So that should say reduce occupancy numbers?
Well, the reduction in fixtures was based on the occupancy numbers.
And the fixtures are bathroom fixtures?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think there were any others that I know.
Nope, I couldn't remember.
Paul seems to be agreeing.
Reduce the numbers, remove. Reduce the numbers?
It should be reduce the number of fixtures based on.
Based on occupancy.
Occupancy. And then the next statement of, next two statements, a question was asked, and Mr. Jorgensen said he doesn't know whether the outdoor can outfit or not. I would like to delete those two. If that's okay.
Jorgensen in the following sentence.
Yep. And then keep the windows in the shower would be eliminated because that's been said many times.
All right.
Okay, the sentence that says gas company will be contacted regarding moving the gas line, I believe. Is that correct?
What was that?
It says that the sentence says the gas line will be contacted regarding the gas line, and I believe it's
the gas company will be contacted regarding
the gas company.
Yeah, moving.
Yeah, it should be moving.
This is where it gets weird because there's a sentence that says Mr. Markham will coordinate paving with Millennium Drills and a half a statement. But on the other minutes, I would like to delete there is an encroachment. And on the other minutes, it says there's a DOT encroachment permit required for the two driveway cuts. So that was in one of the set of minutes that are on the website.
The two driveway cuts or one?
This is what it says here. It says there is a DOT encroachment permit required for the two driveway cuts. So I'm not quite sure.
Mm. No,
there are two driveway cuts.
Is there? Okay.
Okay.
Then yeah, maybe you do.
That's a statement that should be added to this that was adjusted on the minutes.
Okay, I haven't seen those other minutes. So
we remove there is an encroachment for because we don't know what that sentence is.
Right.
And then add this or merge this into that one.
Well, and recite the line again.
There is a DOT encroachment permit required for the two driveway cuts.
Right.
I don't know.
There are two cuts. I mean, I don't know if you need two separate encroachment permits.
No, it's one permit.
I assume it's one permit, that's fine.
That's fine? Okay. That's all I have.
Anybody else anything? Third page, first full paragraph begins Millennium Builders. Second sentence, Silver Petroselli confirmed that the column locations instead of structure.
Oh.
Yep.
And the next paragraph, second sentence, Mr. Carey is talking to vendors to confirm the costs of the project.
Two vendors to
confirm the costs.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. The cost. Not alignment. Mm-hmm. Pick out alignment.
Right. Yes.
Yep.
That's all I have.
On the second page on the item B revisions, the first sentence says SLR will remain, SLR site drainage plan will remain to avoid withdrawal of application and a 1 month continuation will be requested.
It's not site drainage plan, it's just site plan. That's not how site plan will remain. Because originally in January we talked about withdrawing it and then bringing it back, and we said no, instead of withdrawing it, we'll keep their site plan there and then we'll add to it the building. And so we'll amend the original plan instead of withdrawing it. Or the original application instead of withdrawing it.
However, at that point on February 7th, we'd already gotten the continuance because we didn't meet
good point.
February 21st. I just thought that was kind of confusing. Will remain to avoid withdrawal of the application.
Yeah, I thought that we just struck drainage in the period after application.
Yes.
Struck the balance of that sentence.
Oh, okay.
Application.
Yeah, that's good. Withdrawal of application of PCC. I just had one thing at the bottom of page 3 where we approved the invoice. It should say Ms. Berry moved to approve rather than motioned. And what this statement, the invoice number for 14250 equals 75. Didn't we actually not approve payment of the whole thing?
Yeah, because it's $19,000 in A.
Yeah.
So I'm approving 14 of 75% completion.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
so you've got the 19.
The 19
that explains
is there.
It. So we,
yeah.
So we don't have to add that we
no.
Didn't pay. Yep, I did read that right. Okay. Any other comments on the draft minutes? Oh, we should also at the top of page 3, where it's in parentheses,
Glenn,
no video at the meeting. I think we can just eliminate that. If there are no other comments, is there a motion to accept you?
It's pretty right there.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. So we are rapidly moving along to item 4, which starts with, I guess, Glenn, you can tell us what's here.
Yep.
The first chunk is the material that was submitted to BZC.
Right. So this was the planning and zoning app. And it has all of the revisions that were requested, and the dates are color-coded. So it's kind of self-explanatory. I don't know if you had time to go through it. This is what S&P brought to planning and zoning, to both meetings, and then with all the revisions, done deal. This is what they voted on as far as approval with the conditions. This is really in here. It's not for us to go page by page. It's just here for your information. Yeah, there was a lot of revisions made. I thought the second trip to planning and zoning went fairly well. I thought they did a pretty good job. And all of the changes that were asked for are all reflected here. So you can keep that in your file.
And how do we feel about the conditions for approval?
Well, so that's the next thing.
Yeah. There were two primary revisions. One had to do with the drainage basin, that the outflow for the drainage basin was at the very bottom of the basin. And they wanted to have an area for the water to settle before it went out the pipe. There's two ways of looking at that. I think what was proposed by SLR certainly would work. I think, you know, a lot of places that would be fine. But, the chair of planning and zoning is an engineer. They have their own specifications. So they wanted the basin to be about a foot lower. And so we've talked to SLR and asked them to redesign it about a foot lower, so you have a foot of water retention before it goes out the pipe.
Before it hits the structure going to outfall.
I don't, you know, that shouldn't be that big of an issue.
It's not a significant cost.
No.
Based on the soils there's probably not going to be a lot of retention. I think it's going to percolate fairly quickly.
Yeah.
So I think the comment was made by the chair at planning and zoning that what SLR drew was very old-fashioned, and then it became more old-fashioned by actually lowering the elevation into an actual retention basin, which is about as old-fashioned as you get other than just letting it go without any retention. So, you know, it's not that big a deal to change an elevation on a contour line, and for a contractor to go a little bit deeper, it's not some huge expense. You know, we're not going 4 feet deeper, we're only going a foot. That's not really the big ticket item here.
So the bigger item is that we talked about this even before the meeting, that they were talking about having an access way to a public way. If you need a trail, go to a public way. And so we provided one that we thought worked fine and made sense, and went to the police department and then went to the public road, which met their requirements. And they said it met their requirements and met all the ADA requirements, and it made sense that it created that campus setting between the two buildings and all those things. And they said, yep, that was great, I like that. But they still wanted a connection to the bike trail. and it was all about the bike trail, and you know what's going on with this thing?
Yeah, I'm gonna share, I'm trying to share screen.
So they won't, all right, because what's up there isn't, I don't remember if it's accurate, but anyways. So they said they still wanted a connection to the bike trail. And they were questioned on it a little bit by the chairs, but why? It doesn't make a lot of sense. What's the purpose of having the connection to the bike trail?
Right.
And their response was, I think one of the guys just talks about connectivity and connecting modes of transportation and connecting the fire department to the bike trail, and somebody else mentioned about connecting to the trail so that if somebody has health issues or needs water or is injured, they'd be able to get to the fire station. I think most of us here would look at that and say that's kind of ridiculous. I mean, that's the way I would look at it. I think it's I don't even think it's within their regulations. We met their regulations. It was something above and beyond that they, you know, wanted to have. And so they kicked it around for a while, and they basically said you have to have a paved path that's at least, I think, 5 feet wide that will connect the, and they said the parking lot to the trail. And so, you know, you've got all kinds of, I'm sure the fire department has, you know, comments on it too, but, you know, first off, it's they received all kinds of testimony from the chief as to why that doesn't work with the fire department, that it's emergency services, you have emergency vehicles going back and forth out of the building, that this is a work area for the department, it's not someplace where, you know, you want the public gathering around, it's not a trailhead by any means that you'd want people parking at. It just, it doesn't make sense to have that there. And they just kind of ignored that testimony and wanted to go forward with it. And so that's, they made it a condition of their approval that trail had to go in. The other problem is, you know, they look at it as, well, just connect up to the closest part of the trail. Well, the closest part of the trail is a hill like this. You know, it would be a sledding hill. It wouldn't be anything to do with a trail.
Sort of back on the side.
Yeah, well, if you just went the closest distance, it would be straight off the side. It's up a steep hill.
Yeah, the contour lines are really close together. Like, that's
a short, steep.
It's a really steep grade right there, yeah.
And so the planner, and then they left it up to the planner to approve the design and location, and the planner's not going to approve it. They're no shooty. The other surprising thing is at one point they said, well, the path over to the police department satisfies the ADA requirements, so this other path won't need to satisfy ADA. And I'm not quite sure that's accurate either. So we looked at it. Glenn came up with a concept that I think works. It will. I think it actually is the only thing that you could do there that really makes sense. It won't be cheap, but we'll explain that in a minute. But
yeah.
Glenn, if you want to go over kind of what you're looking at.
Yeah, so if you look in your packet, page 33A, and it's also up on the screens. What I did was I took an aerial because I had to go off of the SLR site plan because it doesn't go that far up to the bike path. I went up to, basically I started, I took my wheel and I went up to where the bike path actually flattens out. Not quite to a private driveway right there, just shy of a driveway apron where there's a house on a flag lot. And you kind of make a radius there, turning back towards the south. And it's the black heavy line in Sharpie that goes all the way down. And it goes in front of the new, in front of the old firehouse. And where it ends on this sheet is where the new apron, I used a catch basin as a benchmark to where, so I could find where that new apron is. So that's that section of the sidewalk. And now if you go to page 33B, that is the actual SLR grading plan where it shows you what the proposed fire station is, where it's going to be. And I continued from where the apron, where the new apron is, and then there's a road cut, or there's a driveway. That's where the new apron will be. And then there's an island where I continue the sidewalk. Then there's a smaller driveway. Then I continue the sidewalk over to the PD where the existing sidewalk is now at the parking lot. We can eliminate, I think, the sidewalk that's drawn on 33B from the existing walk at the PD to the curb.
Right.
right? And just make that connection to the PD walk. And you're, you know, effectively you'll have kind of a little rectangular loop here, if you can see what's drawn now.
You didn't extend it out along the road?
I did not carry it from the PD to the curb. I mean, it's here if you want to do it. It's drawn. This was the solution that we came up with to try to satisfy the regulation, and you can leave that all in place, but I'm not sure that it's really necessary. You're already going from the bike path all the way to the PD. Why do you need to go from the PD to the top of the curb where it just ends?
Yes, but this is the right road here, so I was thought we're going to go along the road to here and then go up.
I thought that we didn't need to that extra section of walk.
All right. But
it's 33B on the screen, just so we can all see it.
Yeah, it just seems like a little bit of overkill to keep going, so I didn't include that. But that can certainly, there's a couple of different ways to do this. Here, just...
Can you point on it and show what your proposal is to eliminate?
Yeah, so there's this section,
section
right here where my cursor is. Can you see it?
Yeah.
That's a section that was included to carry the access to the top of the curb or into the right of way. So that would have satisfied the planning and zoning regulation.
Right.
So what I proposed was not to do that because we're satisfying the planning and zoning reg by coming from the bike path all the way to the PD already.
So you don't need to go on the road.
I don't think so, but if you...
Are we satisfying their needs, though, of just getting to our parking lot, though?
That was something that I wanted to ask, is that can we just stop right here at this apron and not keep going?
But I think your question is, does it need to empty out into the parking lot? The one thing I like about bringing along the street, essentially what we're creating is a sidewalk along the edge of the street. Yeah. And what I like about that is it just looks like a sidewalk along the end of the street. It doesn't look like a trailhead ending up in the parking lot. So I think it takes the emphasis off it emptying into your parking lot. It just looks like a parking lot, or it just looks like a sidewalk along the edge of the street, which you could see at a fire station or police station or what have you.
I still don't have to pay for it.
Yeah, no, I don't either. Like I said, I didn't like the idea that it was a requirement anyway. I don't think anybody does except for the Planning and Zoning Commission. But it is, and there's, you know, unless we want to appeal their decision, in which case, but I'm paying for a lawyer on both sides of the argument. So if I got to hire one to represent Planning and Zoning and the town. It seems to me that, you know, we've got to come up with a solution that works. Now, I will tell you, what's the cost, about $160,000?
It was two different prices.
Yeah.
I think it totals $160,000, right?
That's for a bituminous walk. So it's up on the screen. Yeah. It's page 34.
The less expensive was?
The concrete is less expensive.
Right.
Because the cost of bituminous is sky high.
Then we go with the concrete.
Right.
What, in talking to Neil, what we're looking to do is probably apply for a connectivity grant. It's the same grant we used to put sidewalks up on Dowd Avenue. We've used them to put sidewalks in other locations. And the grant round is out there right now, so we'd look to apply for grant money through this. We think because it's municipal facilities, especially the nature of them, we hope that they'll approve the grant. The one thing I would say, though, is I would, instead of having the sidewalk go up kind of on the police property, I would just continue along the edge of the road.
And then go up?
Yeah, yeah, because I also think, because they're going to look to extend this eventually out to Maple Ave, and it's going to look kind of silly going through the middle of the police station front yard. So
that brings up the whole, you know.
I got that. Okay. But I'm just saying we want to make the argument that eventually it may get there because it'll make the grant stronger. We don't have to go there with this grant, but we need to be able to indicate that, hey, we may someday go in that direction. And it just, so if you're going along the edge of the road, I think it works better.
Okay.
So the idea is it's just a sidewalk going along the edge of the road, just like any other sidewalk you see going along the edge of the road.
And Paul's on, so Paul's actually seeing all this. He can pass that on to SLR.
Yeah.
So just regarding the plan for the sidewalk along the road, if it does follow the road edge, I would not look to connect it back to the park, well, I understand why you connect it back to the parking spaces, but I would want to make sure that the sidewalk that is going from the parking at the fire station that goes to the PD, that we talked about there being a value as a public safety complex. If anything's of value, it's that little strip of walkway that connects.
It's gonna stay too.
That will stay.
Yeah.
The plan is, and again, I'm not sure what other strip came up, but is to run it along the road all the way to the police station, and then have one sidewalk going up connect to the sidewalk that's there at the police station, which go to their front door, and then put another little spur in that goes up that would, you know, lead up eventually to your front door. But again, it's primarily a sidewalk along the edge of the road.
So it just follows
exactly
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
and you would still have the other path going to the police station, and we're planning on wrapping that into the same grant. So in theory, if we put the path between the two buildings, which we originally are going to pay for out of this project, and then we get the sidewalk paid for too, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
If we can't, then we got to come up with some money. But that's the only way I see this making sense. I can't see having a path just leading in the middle of the parking lot. That to me makes no sense.
And the north side that comes in, if possible, it would be nice to have that just followed the road, you know, closer to the road here than rather than flaring up.
Yeah, I flared because there's a catch basin. I wanted to stay away from the catch basin. But we could go right up against it as long as there's not any kind of significant step off the sidewalk there, so it becomes a hazard. But
and then it'd have to be a ramp down to
I don't know what the cross section is there. So.
Ramp back up on the other side.
Yeah, I mean there would be ADA ramps with strips. That's all. That's part of the estimate.
Do you have to have tactical warning there?
Technically, crossing a private driveway, no, you do not.
Considering the nature of the facility,
I thought it would be a good idea.
I wouldn't want to do it just because of plowing.
They get beat up pretty bad. That's true. But no, it's not required, but I thought it might be wise here.
So do you think this will invite people to park over at DPW, at the parking by DPW, and cross the street there to access Rails to Trails?
There is no crosswalk there, and there's no way to...
But that's not the question.
Well, if you're going to park...
There's a sidewalk now, though.
But if you're going to park at DPW, why don't you just go down a hill and go to the trail?
Yeah,
why cross the street, hit the parking lot?
I mean,
Because you have to go further to get over
the
trail.
You have to go to the nursery and then cross over.
Yeah, but yeah. But the trail's right there.
I don't know. I
guess it depends on which way you're going.
I would look to post everything that is from the front of the building back as authorized personnel only. No public parking. Because I could see people saying, oh, we can cut right to the trail.
Right.
They'll make their own cow path to get there.
Which is interesting when they made a comment about how much parking is available for the staffing. And then they want to put accessibility for the public. Bizarre.
I appreciate that idea. It does address the question of the misuse or misunderstanding of the public safety facility as a place to congregate.
Right. I would put up a no parking tow zone kind of thing there, because the last thing you want to do is have that
be the public,
on a Sunday afternoon near the place.
I mean, we already have it now of people knocking on the door on a Sunday for the softball field. Obviously, that's moving to the high school, but people coming in there.
They're coming off River Road?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Asking if they can come
through the back anyway off Dyer. We'll probably do that for a while.
But I mean, they're gonna have the parking back there, though.
There's a space back there.
Yeah.
Well, the question is whether it's gonna satisfy the planning and zoning's connectivity objective.
Yeah. They left that up to Neil, and we ran this by Neil, and he seemed comfortable with it.
He was fine with it.
So he's the one who suggested going for the connectivity grant.
It's reminiscent of the fiddler on the roof who wants to put two staircases in his house, one that just goes up to nowhere to show that he's a rich man. And it's a little bit like this is connecting what to what. A sidewalk is by definition something you walk on.
Yeah.
And so people are going to walk and get where? To the front door of the police station.
Future.
And to the top of the curb on River Road, which...
Waste of taxpayer resources.
Mm-hmm.
Can we paint it yellow? Can it be yellow bricks?
Yeah.
Well, this...
For regular bricks, so it won't be inviting.
This is more attractive to me than the cut from the back up to the nearest spot on the rails to trails.
Yeah.
I think if you do the back, it's just going to invite people to park in that parking lot for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
No, there's a logic to this. I just don't see who's going to use it for what purpose.
Well,
no one's going to use it.
My concern is that it becomes an attractive endangerment that if you've got people that are in this area, when there's a call and our people are coming in to get to the apparatus where they're going and parking, this is a pretty hot spot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so the landscaping has to be kept low or non-existent in that area.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have the sight lines.
Yep.
You need a place to plow to.
Yeah.
I thought we
made that clear. We were told we exaggerated it, so.
Yeah, the word hyperbole was brought up.
About the usage and
about the use of the fact that it's a public safety facility, but yet that same person chose to use the example of a person wanting to show their child the fire trucks and someone needing a drink of water. So when it comes to hyperbole, I think it's way next time someone dials 911.
I think there's always a risk anytime public has access or finds itself in an area where there's any kind of emergency equipment, snow plows, fire trucks, cruisers, ambulances, there's always that risk. I think inviting them into that risk magnifies that greatly. But that being said, if it's satisfies, you know, the planning and zoning regs.
Has anybody talked to Chief Arciero and the police department on their insight of it? I had spoken to Captain Schiffer a few months ago when the whole trail in the back came in, and that was a big concern of theirs of people coming into their lot, but I haven't spoken to them since this.
But I think this, out of all the options, I think this creates the least amount of intrusiveness into your property and the police department. It literally is a sidewalk out in front of the building, compared to, you know, having a trail end up in your parking lot, which truly does begin at that point start to look like a trailhead.
Mm-hmm.
This really, I think if it's done correctly, it's just a sidewalk out in front of the I mean, it's an unnecessary sidewalk, but it's just a sidewalk out in front of the building. And you can put, you know, we can put signage up as it enters the safety facilities, you know, emergency vehicles, watch or something.
Yeah,
we can figure out some kind of
watching.
Thing to put up there. Yeah, so I don't know. It to me was the only thing I thought that I thought Neil or Glenn came up with a good idea, and I think it's the only thing that really doesn't make it look like the trailhead coming into the
stage.
The only thing you might have is people that are unfamiliar with the area coming down that sidewalk, figuring it goes all the way into town.
Thinking it goes to
and
Maple,
then they go,
yeah.
Uh oh, so they got to cross the highway at that point.
Or turn around.
They won't turn around across the highway.
They'll cross the street over to DPW and get
and
the rest of the trail.
Yeah.
No, people, this is going to invite people across the street.
Yeah,
if you put a
absolutely.
To cross across the street at its widest point with no.
It's a dangerous road to cross. When I went out to wheel this out with the wheel, cars, I'm guessing 50 miles an hour?
Oh, more like
try pulling out of there for a call.
Yeah.
Well, that brings up a really good question. And maybe, you know, if you had to give this up and do this, if the entrance to DPW and the softball field and everything down there that's happening with the new boat ramp and like that, if you brought this to here and then had a crosswalk across to the other side, then you would have some logic to it. This goes beyond logic and probably invites problems. So this would be the logical route.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Is there a sidewalk across the street?
There is, but it's about 130 feet from the street.
It is. It's a ways back.
It's set pretty back, pretty far back. There's also a very steep grade with a guardrail at the top.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to build so if you were going to do a proper, like what Jerry's saying sounds really good, but I think if you were going to do it right, you would have a ramp on the DPW side, with the sidewalk going down to tie into the existing.
Yep.
You'd have to probably construct a retaining wall to hold that sidewalk, or else you'd be building it in the air. But I think what you're getting is that it satisfies the, you know, the connectivity. It gets you over there. Then you got to walk through our driveway versus walking on a sidewalk.
Well, this just goes to dead end to nowhere. So
right.
I think Ron's point is really good. You get here and
you're guys, can I just throw something in? This is Bobby. You could, if you're going to cross this road and connect a sidewalk to the existing sidewalk at DPW, why do you need to go all the way north down River Road at this point? The problem is, like Glenn said, you're building a sidewalk in the air. You'd have to build a retaining wall. You'd have to extend the drainage pipe underneath the road. But, I mean, if you're going to cross the road, then I don't know why, you know, why you need a sidewalk from the trail twice.
Yeah, but how do you put a crosswalk to nowhere?
Right.
You know, you're putting a crosswalk, first off, a crosswalk across a busy street, you know, so next thing you know, you need flashing beacons there and everything.
Yeah.
And then you cross to a spot where there's no sidewalk. I mean,
I don't really think crossing.
I'd rather have somebody get to the police station and figure out there's no longer a trail than try to cross that road to a road.
What I'm saying, though, is if you were going to cross the street, you don't need the other part. But I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, it's really hard to build on our side of the road, and I don't know if you want to make a crossing on a busy road.
If you want to save money, you can just have it just go and stop at the first entranceway into the fire station.
Right.
And we met the requirements of planning and zoning. And if we didn't get the grant, I already told Neil that was my fallback position, although
he
still wants to continue it to the police station. I think it makes the grant application stronger too. But the fallback position is if we didn't get the grant money, then it probably would end right at that first entranceway. But again, then you're kind of inviting people just into the police station, into the fire station, where if it continues down, at least there's another little walkway.
So what was the intent of the sidewalk at the softball field across at DPW?
That was a connectivity issue as well.
To where?
To the river trail.
But it goes from nowhere to the trail.
Yeah.
Jerry,
it's the other way around.
when we built Public Works, we were required to put that sidewalk in. And in fact, if you go down and look in the gravel parking area, there's an asphalt extension of that sidewalk that goes directly through the fencing right onto the trail. That's how we met the connectivity requirements when they built DPW. So they forced the issue on us also. We just were on the right side of the road a little easier.
And a much shorter run.
People walking up that sidewalk, Bobby, and just waving across the street?
Yeah, in fact, every day there's cars parked amongst the employees' cars right against our building. You got to remember there's a public bathroom there too. So it's busy. The only good thing is, unlike what you guys are now going to be dealing with at the new fire station, we have like a horseshoe work area around the building that we have signs up that say authorized personnel only beyond this point. So we really don't get the cars in around our garage work area, around the salt shed, you know, where the fueling station is.
Unless they're lost.
Whereas you're kind of right out in the open there. I mean, you really don't have a choice. So maybe some signage might be needed, but that's what saves us. But the main area out near the access road, that's used every day. On the weekends, all the hardscape parking lot is used. They tend to stay away from our building, thank God. But that was part of the connectivity requirements we had to do when we built that.
I think
think no matter what we do here, if there's a will, there's a way, and if somebody's gonna park there and find their way to the trail, they're going to, so. And, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's gonna become an enforcement issue.
Talking about over by the DPW will only exacerbate that.
Yeah. Yeah, the sidewalk just invites people across the street.
Yep.
Okay, so maybe you don't want that question.
I wouldn't advise putting a crosswalk across River Road there. It's on a, kind of a curve, and it's gonna be really hard to build a sidewalk on the side of the road. There's nothing to build it on.
That's a high speed.
They also have problems with the other crosswalk with all the lights.
That just wouldn't happen.
It's a weird sightline pulling out of the DPW there, even pulling across the street to go to the firehouse. It's hard to judge people coming from the PD side, so.
And I'll say we all drive very fast on that road, or some of us. No, you don't?
I suppose somebody who has to spend the night in the clink and doesn't get anybody to pick them up now could actually walk up to Gildersleeve though, this way without endangering himself on the road. We have to think of that advantage.
That is.
Use the lowest denominator as our guiding principle.
I want that in the minutes.
That was correct.
And walk to the meeting facility.
I'm trying to think of the hypothetical person.
Besides have a drink of water.
Whoever will use this sidewalk.
Well, I guess it's beyond our.
Well, the hypothetical is what came out at planning and zoning, right? Jerry and John and Tom were there, and Peter was there, and we heard what planning and zoning's hypothetical, you know, parent and child, you want to go look at the, you know, let's go look at the fire trucks, or hypothetical, you know, heat exhaustion, you know, we need water, or hypothetical, I've been injured on the bike, I fell off the bike, I need medical attention. Hypothetically, it's.
Which, if you call dispatch, the last thing they'll tell you to do is get back on your feet, walk in here.
Yeah, can you please?
I'm quite certain they'll say, we'll come to you.
Can you please walk to emergency services?
Other than the kid in the fire truck, it's a, I am on a phone 911.
Exactly.
Yeah, everybody's got a phone. Like I said, I don't think it was their finest moment, but we've got to somehow figure out how to meet the requirements.
Right.
Unless somebody has a better idea, I don't, you know,
Right.
I think with the grant.
I like keeping it out front rather than going in the rear.
Yeah, that's what I liked about it, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, the grades work really well. It's the easiest place.
If you put it out back, it's going to invite more people back at the parking lot.
Yeah.
So you'll cross, because we're going to keep the cut at the existing station, curb cut. So you'll cross that with a marked lines or something?
Well, we'll keep the curb cut, but we're not going to keep a driveway.
What I'm talking about, the sidewalk's gonna go there.
Just go straight through.
That'll be grass. There'll be a grassy area with a sidewalk on the road.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see.
Yep.
I see. We don't keep it paved.
It's not paved.
Right.
Just keep the cut. Well, if your impression, and I take it that it is, Bob and Glenn would probably have a chance to vet this a bit with the town planner, is that that this is a requirement that we've got to satisfy. This looks like.
I asked them, well, what if we just don't do it? And he says, well, then you don't get the building permit.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to submit a plan that has a path on it that meets their requirements so the chair can sign off on it or we don't get a building permit.
And there's no administrative appeal internally that can say, you see all the problems you're creating.
Or it's not regulation.
So,
yeah, I have no idea what
regulation
requires this, but
requirement. So I mean, that in itself, you would think,
but we've got like 7 more days of an appeal period if you know somebody wants to appeal it. But I don't.
I don't want to talk to those people ever again.
I mean, there's also a risk that if you try to appeal this, or
they'll do something.
They'll do something. There'll be something worse. You know.
Or more extensive.
I don't think they're gonna like take retribution on us.
I mean the location of the sidewalk will change from the front of the
I would feel pretty strongly that we would have a good claim that this is basically arbitrary and capricious and isn't required under the rules and they stepped outside the bounds. But I just don't see that being a logical step at this point.
Right. How much is it gonna cost just for legal fees and time? And delays on
this
project.
Time's a big one. Well, I think you could actually pull this out and appeal it separate from the rest of the decision, but I don't know how that
It prolongs the...
We just got to bite the bullet and do it. That's what it comes down to, I think.
If you do go for a grant, would you go all the way to the corner with the grant?
When we talked the other day, we talked about going just to the fire station.
Because
the problem is, if you go down beyond this, you start, there would be enough funding, I think, to go beyond this, but once you get beyond here, you do start running into wetlands and some other things.
You're going to need a bridge, and you've got an even more severe slope.
If you went forward with this in hopes of a grant, and you don't get the grant, can you go back to them and say, we don't have the money for this? This is, you know, you kind of overstepped your boundaries here, you know?
I think we'd have to go back for a plan modification, because at that point, you know, the approved plan would indicate that the trail going all the way to the police station, and so you'd have to go back for a plan modification. I did tell the town planner that would probably be my intent if we didn't get the grant, and he seemed to raise some concerns that he thought it should go all the way through anyways. So, I don't know.
Right.
You know, I mean, at some point, I mean, my first instinct said that I wanted to go to the Board of Finance and ask them to have a special appropriation. We go to a town meeting and just put this under a limelight and say, look, guys, this is what this is what your taxes are going for. Is everybody comfortable with that?
Yeah.
And ask for a special appropriation. My concern is I already know what the Board of Finance would say. No, we're not going for special appropriation. Find it within the budget.
Right.
And so I'd rather not do that and just see if we can come up with the money.
Well, this is one of the last
big problems.
Last elements to go into the project anyway, so at that point, are they going to stop the project?
Who?
The P&Z at that. I mean, what I'm saying, sidewalks usually one of the, you know, really last elements to go in.
Right.
We're already going to have the building constructed by that point.
No, they could take legal action probably.
Let's cross that bridge if we have to get there.
But
I agree with you. I don't want to extend it all the way down to the police station if we don't have the funding to do so. But, you know, let's wait and see what funding we got at the end of the project, too. Who knows? Maybe it'll be funding for it. Although I could think of a lot of other better things that the fire department could use to fund in a sidewalk to nowhere.
I don't think there's very much more we can say about it. Unless, you know, certainly if you have more time.
And, you know, this is going to have to be put on the plan, so I guess one of the questions is, can you go back to the...
To?
Speaking of putting it on the plan, on the SLR...
Just go back to the stop sharing.
It would be great if on the title block they could eliminate Collinsville Fire Station and have the title match the rest of the town of Canton Fire EMS. There's no longer Collinsville Fire Station.
I did ask whether or not... Because that language was there on the plans. I said, we don't have to abide by that exact language. And they said, no, because I figured you guys would have a concern about it. So we don't have to abide by that exact language on that sign. It will have to be approved, but we don't have to abide by
that
language.
On the plan, on the title block, and on the sign with the shows.
Okay.
You guys got the calls.
Paul, do you have any questions as to what we're describing here as far as that sidewalk goes?
No question. I guess we want confirmation. I don't know if you want to send a sketch over for SLR to take a look at before they get started.
Yeah, that's fine.
I can send you.
You can.
You want to revise this so that portion in front of the police station is on the road.
Exactly.
I'll bend that over to the curb or closer to the curb.
Want to take a picture and send it?
Glenn did it.
I just wanted to make sure you were clear on what we were looking at and what we needed in the plan. And then the same thing with the drainage. You're clear with what needs to be put in for the drainage? Paul?
We received the written comment for the first time today. So
yep.
I guess we haven't had a chance to talk with SLR over exactly how they plan on, if it's the whole basin that's deep or if there's one section, you know, they're questioning what to do exactly only because their drainage report, you know, was already worked out. So now whatever change they make, they want to be told specifically what to do, I guess.
Yeah.
So
speaking of that drainage, the next document in the packet is the SLR memo to you, Paul. Basically, again, this is only in here really, you know, just for your use. Basically explaining that they felt that what they already had was, you know, going to work, is adequate. It met all, you know, standards. Nothing wrong with that design, and I agree. I've seen a few of these, and this certainly worked or would have worked just fine. So again, it was a condition of planning and zoning to change the depth of the you know, the basin. So I think
that's not out of their league.
I'm sorry?
That's not out of their league.
Well,
no, they can certainly, in review of a plan, dictate that you have to change drainage or detention basins. I mean, it's certainly within the realm of what they do. It's just in this case, it seemed like we had, you know, professional engineers that had drafted a plan that was backed up by, you know, their calculations of how they came up with it. How you kind of throw that aside and come up with something else is a little unusual.
Yeah.
But again, adding a foot to the depth of that detention basin, I don't, you know, it doesn't seem to me like it would be a heavy lift. Quite frankly, draw the extra elevation circle in there and let Peter figure out how he's going to dig it. But I don't. To me, it doesn't seem like it should be.
Yeah, I don't think. I think all Dave has to do, Paul, is just to change the you know, the contour to, you know, make it a foot deeper, and I think that'll satisfy what planning and zoning is looking for.
That's an easy one.
Okay. And then, so the next document you have in your packet is what the chief wrote to planning and zoning, basically regarding parking, which did get resolved at, I think, at the first meeting, where I think what the concern was is that planning and zoning was going to try to reduce parking as designed. This letter, I think, changed their minds, and then the chief was at the meeting online, and he made that clear that what we have, you know, in the drawing was adequate. So I think there was a misinterpretation possibly by planning and zoning that we were looking for more parking, but that's not necessarily the case. I don't think you have to design for worst case. I think you have to, you know, kind of take the average, and that's what we have, and it works. So that's, you know, again, that's just so you have this just as a matter of record. And then the other documents that I included were Jerry had sent comments prior to the meeting, and Peter had responded to some of them, and again, you know, just so you have this, I don't believe everybody was copying on this, no. So if you had a chance to take a look at it, I think a lot of Jerry's points were excellent, and Peter's comments also. So
yes, discerning that the commission did not have any colloquy with the applicant at their meeting, that they don't have to be in a public meeting to do that, surely.
You mean at the time of the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting?
Yeah, at
that point, it's not a time period where we debate with them, you know, their decisions. It's if they need clarification or something.
That's what I mean, you can provide information.
Yeah, they'll ask us for it. Yeah. But it's not a time period you can, you know, sit there and say, you know, what are you thinking?
Well, we made the presentation, and there was a public hearing which no one spoke on the 21st. And, of course, everybody was eager to get on to cannabis dispensary, the real highlight of the meeting. But they still spoke out on this. And, you know, I just think that if they had questions that night, they could have taken more information from the applicant.
Absolutely.
And apparently they failed to do so.
No, actually, they can't. Once they close the public hearing, they're limited to what the new information they can take in. So that if they had additional questions, they would have had to leave the public hearing open and then continue the public hearing to the next meeting. But they closed the public hearing, so they are limited to what additional information they can take. They can only because we're the applicant, they could
you know, if there was a clarification or something they needed, but you truly couldn't come in with additional information.
No, no, I understand that, but they could have asked a question of the applicant after the public hearing is closed. Why is there no connection to the rails to trails bike path? They could have asked that, and the applicant could have responded.
I guess, but they already had a pretty good idea that the applicant didn't agree with their position on the bike trail and that we needed
And they stated as much at the last meeting.
Yeah, we did. At one point, they told us to be quiet.
Yeah.
So, like, we were kind of backbenching it and making some points known. But yeah, because they actually at one point said that no, it's one of the commissioners said, look, even if this was free, the fire department doesn't want it. And then one of the other members said, no, I remember it had to do with the money. It wasn't a problem connecting up to the trail, and that wasn't the case. And
well,
yeah,
that's just it. They
and
made
I think
statements
that's
that
when
erroneous.
We voiced our yeah. displeasure, and then we were kind of told to knock it off, which we're not supposed to be doing that.
That's a problem with the system. Is that when so they can make a comment that's wrong, and we can't correct it unless we're asked, you know, for a clarification.
But I do kind of understand, only because of the plan, because of the board that I'm on. There is a time where the discussion needs to be among the members, that they debate this thing among themselves. And if you have the public constantly chiming in on it, it makes it very difficult to do that. So, and the nature of a public hearing is once that public hearing is over, you can't take any new information. So.
But no one in the public has to be heard.
Huh?
No one in the public has to be heard.
The staff.
At least the public hearing I attended. The only participation other than the commission was the presenters and me.
And the chief.
And the chief, who I thought of as a presenter, but yeah. So it's water over the dam. It just seems like a unnecessarily obstructed communication between two entities representing the town, which should have more of a unified purpose.
Thanks. I totally agree.
We all agree.
But what's done is done, and we're going to make the best of it, and so we can move on, probably. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's also a floor plan, you know, the elevations are in here, the project estimate. Just thought I'd include those so you have them handy.
Yeah.
One thing that came in, kind of last minute, was Paul sent over, and I've only got a few copies of these because I burned through some paper today, but
and ink, and
time. But so, if you wouldn't mind sharing these, there's I think there's two or three copies floating around, and it's the architecturals.
Yeah.
For permitting, it's the permit set, and I don't know if Paul has any comments that he'd like to make on it. Bob, I don't know if you want to go through this or you want to pass
yeah,
it down.
Yeah, but I'm thinking we might want to make Paul.
Oh, I made him a panelist.
Is he?
Yeah.
No, but is he a ghost? In case he wanted to put something up.
Oh, no. No, he's not.
I didn't think so. I looked at it a little bit online and I thought it looked good.
Yeah.
Glad to see it.
I mean,
this is in the material you emailed.
The second.
Yeah, this was very late in the day. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, I went through that, and I
was
like, okay.
Yeah,
I thought it looked good.
Yeah, it does look good.
Has Peter Carey gotten a chance to see it?
I sent them to him today. He is he's out of the office this week.
Yeah, he's
out. So yeah, okay. I just got a message back saying he's out of the office on Monday, so I assume he's out vacationing or something.
Do you have any questions, John or Jerry? Go ahead, we'll give you time to do that. Take your time.
Glenn, you said this is the permit set.
It's permit set.
Although it's not
steam. No, I don't believe so.
I think they're waiting for comments from Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, I don't know if there's anything that, that you want to add to what I just said. It's pretty self-explanatory, but if you have anything while people are looking at them.
No, there's a lot of stuff in here I don't know about.
Paul, let me ask you a question about the permit pages we've got here, which look real good. Are there any particular things in here that are different from what we last looked at that you think should come to the committee's attention?
No, not specific. You know, obviously permit sets are a little more detailed than what we would submit for planning and zoning. We've got to detail the building. We cut wall sections. We show finished plans, doors, you know, the code plans. So all of these things are typical for submitting when the, you know, when the builder submits for a permit. We will wait for Millennium to look through them just to make sure they have no comments. We want to make sure that they are in sync with us on these drawings. So we, for their comments when Peter gets back. And also, you know, that these, our drawings would also include the civil. So once SLR has an opportunity to, you know, start to incorporate planning and zoning conditions, then we would incorporate the civil into this set,
right,
and that be the final set that Millennium would have to submit for permitting.
Right.
Paul, was there any back and forth on the columns locations with Millennium to get that ironed out?
We haven't heard any comments since we sent them the plan that you see in front of you.
So when you get their steel drawings, you're going to have to, I guess, review it with Millennium and make sure it all works with the floor plan.
Yeah, well we already received it once. I don't know if they'll have any revisions or not, but okay. We already received the pre-manufactured building drawings.
Okay.
And we literally dropped them right into our floor plan and made some modifications.
Okay.
So with these going back to Peter, then we want him to take a look and see if he has any comments.
Great, thanks. Mm-hmm.
Paul, one thing on the door heights, we want to make sure that the sections show 14 foot clear. On the door schedule, there are 14 by 14.
Yep.
We need to make sure that it is truly 14 clear, especially in elevation, because the current ladder is 13.6.
Yeah.
Do you have a page you're looking at?
We can put the word clear on it, but typically that's our elevation should support that.
A401, building section 4. Chief had a question about changing, we talked about changing to horizontal width at the admin side of it.
It is.
And it is, but there's a question about a color change between the two buildings, or two portions of the building, to break that up a little bit.
I thought we had that in the previous outline. It's gray and red.
I was presuming that Millennial would work through Silver and Petroselli and get some color samples actually work.
Yeah, they'll do the color.
I didn't know if there was a cost thing of doing two separate colors.
No, those panels come in different colors.
Yeah.
And so we could, although I do like the colors, the red. I thought that looked.
The red was, yeah.
Yeah, I thought their color scheme in the picture looked pretty good. You know, we always looked at two different colors, but yeah, Millennial. We'll have to work with them to pick out the panel colors.
And on the code study sheet, it shows the mezzanine at 814 square feet, I think it was. And is that what's shown graphically on that mezzanine as far as the use and the perimeter of that?
Yeah.
Here. Is the mezzanine the crosshatch portion on that, or is it the clear area that's cut through over the admin area?
It's not over the admin area. It's directly adjacent to, so it's over the gear locker and watch room.
Okay, great. Thank you. Is there a ramp from the admin area into the bay?
I don't think so, but I'd have to check.
Okay,
Handicap ramp if it differs.
No, I'm just saying in the hallway from the admin side into the bays, it appears that there is a break in that, whether it's a break in flooring or if there's a change in elevation.
Yeah, what is that?
I'm trying to figure that out. Hall 132.
In the hall, that should just be clear all the way through if it's the same elevation. You say how there's those two brake lines on it?
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I don't
though.
Either. That's what Jerry's asking.
That is a weird one.
Talking about things, the sprinkler room seems to be larger than what it really needs to be. If it's just for OS and Y and maybe a compressor, it seems to be a little bit larger. It's in the upper left-hand corner, 107. Oh, yeah. So depending on how that room lays out, it seems, especially with the door swinging out, it gives you more room inside for the compressor and the OS and Y.
What would you do with that space?
Give it to EMS storage or fire storage?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just end up with machinery cluttered up.
Yeah. Oh, I get it. Because those, it looks like they're all just the same size, except for oxygen. But could it be as small as oxygen?
I would think so. It's oxygen 6.13 square feet.
That would be a little tight.
Square feet. 6 feet.
To answer your question, there is a small drop, and it looks like it's about 4 to 6 inches between the office area and the apparatus bay. I don't see it listed, though, so I'm going to make sure we clarify that.
A ramp or a step?
It would be a ramp, not a step.
Mm-hmm. Do we need that?
It may be a code issue to have it at a slightly lower area, but I'll check.
Well, I was wondering about that for CO purposes, but I don't know that it's really, if it's needed in this type of building.
Paul, were we going to build all the dorms out, or were we eliminating some of this stage of the room?
There's four.
My understanding, talking to Peter, is that half of them will be built out to begin with.
We have to remove those off the plans that aren't being built out?
I don't think you have to necessarily remove them, but we could put a note on them if that's what you'd want.
Yeah,
say future or something like
that. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, the building official might appreciate that.
It's a good point. I don't know whether you require it or not.
Peter's going to build what's in the budget.
Yeah, I know. Peter won't build unless we tell him to.
Well, or we can say later.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea to put a note there for the building official.
If you got the money, maybe you finish them out, but.
Right, you never know.
Yeah.
I don't want to be on the drawings.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a note.
Phase two. And the cascade system and the host system don't have a wall into the bays? That's just open?
No.
So do you want the sprinkler room reduced in size and the extra footage distributed evenly, or just?
It would be sprinkler and compressor, right? I mean, it makes sense to put them in the same spot.
Are you getting that, Paul?
I'd want to make sure that Peter is satisfied with that, because again, he's doing the sprinkler now, so our engineers, I'd want to make sure with Peter before we changed any sizes. I can reach out to him to confirm the size that he needs for that equipment, but MEP, he's picking up at this point, including FP.
Yeah, it's really just the backflow preventer, the OSOY, and the gauges on it.
If Peter says he doesn't need the space, then you would want it added to the EMS storage.
Yeah.
All right. So Paul, if Peter gets back and says, yeah, whatever Peter says we can lose out of that room, just add it to the abutting room next to it, which is the EMS storage.
Yeah. We've all seen what a fire service looks like. It's not very big. And room for that, and a compressor in that same room, so just use another power drop in 220 for that.
Yep, no, but Paul's right. I mean, let's check with Peter and make sure he has the room that he needs, and then if Peter's not going to take it, if he doesn't need it, then he can add it to the room next to it.
Right.
I pulled off what I had for the last meeting, so
yeah.
The last couple meetings.
42, 47.
Yeah.
What do you have on?
Mm-hmm. Anything else on the project? Or move to choices?
Yeah, a couple of items. One is we did talk about Silva Petrocelli and modifying their contract based on us not going out to bid on a design bid build project.
Yep.
They did get back to me, and essentially you would look to remove 5A, which is about $90,400. So that would be removed out of the project.
Mm-hmm.
And then under task five, there'd be $3,000 removed from that particular line item. So that would go to $18,500. So it's a total of, $93,400 that would be removed out of the contract. I've taken a look at it, reviewed it. I think that's probably appropriate.
Yeah.
It makes sense to me. I think it's fair. And it's, you know, what Dave Stein suggested. And again, looking through it, I think it's good. It does say, I'm not sure, it says, as a reminder, our current proposal does not include any services during bidding or construction. We're not gonna have any bidding, so that's not an issue. At some point, we will have to talk about construction and managing construction, but at this point, I'd be comfortable amending the contract with them with those changes. That 5A is out, and task 5 is reduced by $3,000.
That sounds like the appropriate adjustment from the way they broke it down originally. Thanks to Silver Fletcher Selling and Bob, I think that's what we should do.
Bob, can you say it again? On my sheet, it says...
We don't have a 5.
We don't have a 5, I just have 5A.
Yeah, 5 is, let me grab the contract here.
Yeah, task 5 was to prepare the design-build specs and contractual bid documents based on approved plans.
And task 5 was $21,500. So you subtract that $3,000 off of that, so it take it to $18,500.
So what you're doing is based on this current invoice, 5A is removed, and we put 5 in there at 18,500. So this balance of the contract, if everything's paid to today or approved, would be the $18,500.
Correct.
So that would be their last task.
Yeah, and again, we can talk about the invoice in a minute.
I just want to make sure I'm reading
the contract amendment would be
right.
Take out 5A for the $90,400, and remove out of task 5, take that from $21,500 down to $18,500.
Okay.
So it's coincidental that the current invoice is $3,000. Or are we paying? Is that the? Oh, yeah.
They're looking to get tasks 1 through 4 paid into completion.
Right.
Yeah. And again, we can talk about that invoice when we get that invoice. Yeah, right now, it's fine.
Right.
Okay, that works.
Is everybody comfortable with that?
Very comfortable.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. All right. Well, then that's the direction we're moving in. That's fine. Good.
Perfect.
Thank you. So with that, we were looking at budgeting before, and we were talking about where we're at in money and so forth. If you take into consideration the reduced amount of Silver Petroselli's contract, and we were looking at these numbers before, we had them at the full amount, 200 and some thousand. So
yep.
if you reduce their contract, it looks like we'll be about 115,000 below the 5.4 million, or really the better way to look at it is we've got about 265,000 in contingency. Because we had 150 that we started with, and if you add the 100 from the contract, we're 265.
Right.
Now that can go very quick, so I don't know if you get any ideas,
but it
means we have more of a normal size contingency now than we had before.
Yeah.
The other thing I do want to mention is we've been pricing generators, and actually Peter has, and he did send me an email saying that his vendor could provide a 150 kilowatt generator for $60,000. With a 600 amp breaker.
Yes.
So, and again, S&P had it at 175, so we'd have to confirm that you can go down to a 150, and I think Horton could probably do that for us. But it just gives you an idea of, some of those numbers we have for deferred costs are probably high.
And you have a much smaller generator, is that right? And there was the thought that we didn't need the 175.
What's the share between the two? The mechanical systems for the current building, we don't have full central air conditioning. We have independent air conditioning.
Right.
In rush for starting those. We do have a Cascade and a Ritter compressor, but if they are kicked out, we run
smaller
runners. But those are the two things you have to design for the largest in rush.
Right. And we still don't know the exact size needed yet.
I know, for example, we just put a generator up at the high school. We had Horton come in and look at the electrical and determine exactly what we needed in size and what it could do. And, you know, I would suggest we could probably do the same thing here. Or Peter can, one or the other. But I'm just saying, if we can get it down to a 150 from a 175, the savings could be substantial.
What's that DPW?
65, is it? Bobby, what's a DPW?
60.
So, you know, we'd be more than double that size. Yeah.
Does it come down in 5 kilowatt increments? Or?
I think the standard ones we were looking at was 200, 175, and 150. 25. There's a 200 Cummings that we could get that would be, I think it's about 100,000, somewhere in there. But I don't know. I mean, you want it sized right for the building. So yeah. We got to figure out what that size needs to be. But I just wanted to point out that just as far as budgeting goes, if we can get it down to a 150, there would be some savings there.
Budgeting, that's good news. Was the, I forgot where it was, Stratford or Saybrook or something that Peter has done?
Stonington.
Stonington, 14,000 foot building. I wonder what size they've got.
Yeah, I don't know. But again, I mean, they'll come in and size it for our particular equipment and all that. So, you know, somebody has to do that analysis.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what they come up with is what we'll put in there. I'm sorry.
And get it ordered because it's long lead time, right?
It is. You know,
we don't have the money.
Exactly. Yeah, we have to get the funding for it. Yeah. But it is, and obviously in the back of our head, they shouldn't transfer over from the old building until that generator's in place. The other thing I wanted to mention is that we did apply for some an additional grant for those deferred costs. We applied to the State Bond Commission for funding for all three of those items, demolition, the generator, and the FF&E. And we'll see where that goes. At the same time, we also applied for funding for the boat ramp from the Bond Commission. And the thought there was that if we were to award us the money for the boat ramp, that we could use that ARPA funding, which is currently funding the boat ramp, use it on the deferred costs here. So, and then on top of that, we also have the firefighter grant, whatever the name of it is. But assistance to the firefighter grant for the air packs, which were ARPA funded. So that was approved, and that ARPA money could be used for deferred costs. So we've got like three tracks we're working on to try to get funding for those deferred costs. So,
Okay.
That's awesome.
Sounds good. Yeah. I forgot about, did we carry special inspections anymore?
We did. Yes. It's in the number. Inspections, $22,000.
Okay.
And Bob Martin's working on some of these other costs. We're coming up with a more detailed budget sheet to track all the expenses. And so there may be some changes in those costs. I think utility connections, we have $12,000, maybe a little low. I don't even remember what the kitchen allowance was for, but at the time we said we needed it. I think it might have been a hood or something. So, you know, these numbers will be revised over time, but at least now we've got a little better cushion in which to, you know, revise them one way or the other.
Thanks, Bob. That's encouraging. Anything else on the project? Do we actually have an invoice to approve?
We have two. This one here and this one.
So the invoice you have is number 0297, and it's for $3,015. And what it does is it brings task two and task three to to completion.
Is that the balance of what we didn't pay last time?
No. This no. Is totally different.
So I did make a note on task four, which was the approvals. We had paid 75% of that total.
Right.
And we withheld $4,750 until we got planning and zoning approval, but we got approval with the conditions, then now we need a revision. We have to add the sidewalk, we have to, there's a street light that has to be shorter. It's,
yeah.
And then there's, you know, the drainage too. So that all still has to happen. So I guess my question to you is, do you want to authorize to pay that? Do you want to wait until that's done, or do you want to go ahead and pay it right now?
I mean, this invoice is for the $3,050.
Right, but, I would, the other is still outstanding.
I would recommend to wait on the.
You want to wait?
On the January 7th invoice 0032.
Okay.
With the balance of $4,750, and would wait until we have everything.
Yeah, which will not be very long, so.
Right.
Yeah.
But this, $3,015, we're 100% complete on all the other two items that you are satisfied.
So task three, site plan, and if you look at it from the perspective of the planning and zoning approval with the conditions, that's already taken care of with the $4,750 that we're going to.
Yeah, I would agree. I wouldn't hold both back.
No.
I just want to make sure that if we're going to pay them.
Yes, I think I would. Yeah, I would recommend that you pay this current invoice.
All right. And then there would be the other outstanding item is item five of $18,500 that still needs to be completed.
Right.
Okay. I'll make that motion to approve invoice 22-20297 dated March 1st for $3,015.
Second. All in favor? Signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. De Silva Petroselli.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion to pay invoice 0297 is approved. Very much. Chairman's only report is that we're scheduled for a regular meeting on April 4th. I don't have anything else.
The only thing I would mention is that I do have a draft AIA design build contract,
yeah,
which has been sent over to Peter for review, and he's reviewing it. I spoke to him at the end of last week. And the EZIQC proposal was going to Gordian, I think today, for Gordian's review. And I spoke to the representative from Gordian yesterday, and he said that he didn't think he'd have it very quickly. He's looking to get the project going. And so hopefully when Peter comes back next week, we'll get the EZIQC proposal. And then we can, because that's one of the main exhibits on the AIA contract. So we'll get the EZIQC proposal completed and get the other items we need to complete the contract and get the project moving forward. So.
And they did say they discount their fee 50%, right?
Said what?
They said they discount their fee 50%.
From 7 to 5.
And I'll take it.
I can ask one question.
Go ahead, Chair.
On the overall project budget, so where we have the direct cost of post-construction and all the other costs, little things just as we're capturing them, thinking about like window treatments, because we need to have the blackout shades and stuff like that in the bug rooms and things like that in the training room, you know, privacy elsewhere. As we get those items, we can filter those into the budget so that we can capture the cost now. I think it'd be nice if it wasn't just static and we have surprises later.
Yeah, that's not in FF&E?
Like window treatments would normally be Division 12. But
okay.
Zero here, so it just kind of caught my eye. I'm thinking that we should probably just, you know, like Ron asked about the special inspections, you know, just make sure we're up to date and capture those little items and go through it.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Most of that stuff I'm thinking is going to come up under FF&E, but you're right, window treatments may be part of what would be here as part of the schedule.
Yeah, and then, you know, signage, I think it's not something you'll have to wait until the end, but you know, the sooner you think about building signage and wayfinding and, you know, how we control the site access and things like that.
You guys said you had, was it a donation fund for the flagpole, was it? And
yeah, well, we would take care of the sign.
The sign and the flagpole too, wasn't it?
No, I don't think the flagpole.
You mentioned at some point.
I think you were putting donation on there, we were saying.
No, no, well, no, I had donation on a lot of it, but you didn't want that.
We had an idea for something, but.
Somebody thought, okay, all right, because I had the flagpole on at one point, I took it out, because I thought, I thought you had mentioned at one point that something was going to get paid from somewhere.
We'll definitely take care of the sign, the park donation.
And the sign's going to be on the building?
Yep, and it's going to be.
Wherever they approve, right?
They said on the.
On the building.
On the building, yeah, yeah.
Is that the way the PD is also?
No.
It's on the street.
There's a lot of streets.
And the DPW is on the, in their.
Yeah, in the garden.
Front yard.
Yeah, they have.
I agree, it's just, that's the way it was designed, it was sticking on the building, so that's where they approved it.
If you have it red,